We thank you for your grace, your mercy, your love. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Wash over us. We glorify you. You have brought me to the water where my past can be swept away in the current of your mercy. And I know I'll never be the same. There's no limit to your promise. Jesus, you have done it all for me. Yeah. Jesus, you have done it all for me. Oh, grace comes like a wave. Crashing over me, grace comes like a wave, crashing over and over and over. Crash over me, yeah. I'll jump into the water where my soul can be satisfied, and your love is overflowing from within me, and it won't run dry. No, there's no limit to your promise. Jesus, you have done it all for me. Yeah, Jesus, you have done it all for me. Oh, grace comes like a wave crashing over me. Grace comes like a wave, crashing over and over and over. Grace comes like a wave, crashing over me. Grace comes like a wave, crashing over and over and over. Crash over me, Lord. There's healing in the water with a love that flows so deep. Wash over me, wash over me. Forgiveness in the water with a love that flows so deep. Wash over me, wash over me. Salvation in the water with a love that flows so deep. Wash over me, wash over me. Deliverance. Deliverance in the water with a love that flows so deep. Wash over me, wash over me. Yeah. 'Cause grace comes like a wave crashing over me. Grace comes like a wave crashing over and over and over. Grace comes like a wave crashing over me. Grace comes like a wave crashing over and over and over. Your grace is sufficient, Lord. You are all we need, Lord. We declare this morning, Lord, there's healing in your wings, salvation and forgiveness, Lord. Let your manifested presence fill this place. You are all we need. You are all we need. You are our portion, yes, Lord. There's healing in the water. With a love that flows so deep, wash over me, wash over me. Come on, declare this morning. Forgiveness in the water, with a love that flows so deep. Wash over me, wash over me. Salvation in the water, with a love that flows so deep. Wash over me, wash over me. Deliverance in the water, with a love that flows so deep. Wash over me, wash over me. We praise you, Lord. We worship you in this place. Lord, you are our portion. You are more than enough. We glorify you. The prayer partners are going to be in the back. If you have any need at all, have someone stand in agreement with you. Amen?
That's right.
Lord, we thank you.
We believe in that.
We thank you, Lord.
We believe in that.
Thank you.
On the way, my help is on the way. Oh, my God, He will not delay my refuge and strength. Away, I will not fear, His promise is true. My God will come through, always, my God. Oh, my God, He will not delay my refuge and strength, always. I will not fear, His promise is true. My God will come through, always, always. Sing with me, always. I lift my eyes up, my help comes from the Lord. I lift my eyes up, my help comes from the Lord.
Only you, Lord.
We believe, we believe. I lift my eyes up, my help comes from the Lord. Only from you, Jesus, only from you, Jesus. I lift my eyes up, my help comes from the Lord. Let's confess this truth one more time.
I lift my eyes up, my help comes from the Lord.
Let's say, my God will come true. My God, He will not delay, my refuge and strength always. I will not fear, His promise is true, my God will come through always. My refuge and strength, always. I will not fear, His promise is true, my God will come true, always, always. Oh,
unto the hills, where does my help come from? It comes from the Lord,
from
the maker
you.
Of heaven and earth. We trust you, my King.
Only from you, Lord.
We trust you, Lord.
We believe.
You can make a way when there seems to be no way, Lord.
I believe.
We put our trust in you, God.
I lift my eyes up, my help comes from the Lord.
Oh, we declare that this morning. We do, Lord.
I lift my eyes up, my help comes from the Lord.
Come on, I want to hear y'all declare that this morning. Just the voices.
I lift my eyes up, my help comes from the Lord.
I can't do it on my own, no. One more time.
I lift my eyes up, my help comes from the Lord.
We trust you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Amen.
We glorify you.
Amen. Would you bow with me in prayer right now? Lord, we just say thank you so much for who you are and for what you mean to us. Lord, our help comes from the Lord, and we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that we can bring every one of our needs, our burdens to you. We can bring every one of our requests to you. And I give you thanks for that, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you are on the throne this morning.
Yes.
And that you are listening to the cries of your people. And I just pray, Lord Jesus, that as we assemble in this place this morning, that the wonderful presence and the power of your Holy Spirit is going to continue to flow through each one of us. And for the message that we are going to receive, we just pray your anointing upon the word. It's going to be a powerful word, and I just pray that you'll give us ears to hear, and we give you thanks for this. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, and everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Before you're seated this morning, would you just turn around and just maybe a high five to somebody in the air, okay? Well, good morning, New Life Fellowship.
Good morning.
How's everybody doing today? And did we all get just a tremendous amount of turkey on Thursday? And how many of you would agree that Thursday night has always got to be one of the best dinners of the day? Because if you eat your turkey dinner in the afternoon, you come back and on Thursday night you get turkey sandwiches or something like that, and that's always a great meal. And everybody looks like you had plenty of turkey, and myself included. We just want to welcome you to New Life Fellowship and say thank you so much for joining us. And if you're watching us online, we welcome you as well. We just say thanks for being with us today. We are so glad to have you here. We would like to just bring a couple of announcements your way today. If you are a guest, if this is your first time to be with us at New Life Fellowship, in front of you is in the chair in front of you, there is a communication card. And if you would just take that and fill that communication card and place it in one of our black giving boxes in the back of the auditorium, we would so appreciate that. Also, on your way out today, we have a water bottle, a New Life Fellowship water bottle that we'd like to give you as a little gift, a memento, just saying thank you for coming and being a part of our worship service today. Also, we want to let you know about our church app. We've had this for several months, and we want you to know that if you would just take the time to download that app, it would be a tremendous help to you. It has various announcements of events that are taking place here at the church. Also, you can when you download it, it'll have the sermon notes. And you can actually write your own comments in there as well. And then it is our giving portal. And so that if you want to give your tithe or your offering, you can do it through there. Also, as far as giving goes, we have our giving boxes, like I said, in the back. And if you'd like to place your tithe and your offering in those giving boxes, we would appreciate that so very much. Well, we are at a special time of the year, and this is the season in Christendom where we celebrate the season of Advent. And Advent always happens on the Sunday following November 30. And so it's the Sunday closest to that particular date. And there are four Sundays that lead up to Advent. Advent is a little word. It's a Latin word. And it really means coming, or it means arrival. And what we do during the Advent season is we look forward to the coming of Christmas, the celebration of the nativity of Jesus Christ coming into the world as a baby. And then it is also significant of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Let me just see a show of hands. How many of you are looking forward to the second coming of Jesus Christ? Amen. That is worth just clapping for and saying yes. We are so blessed to know that the Father said, I'm going to send my Son to the earth so that salvation will be available for all mankind. And that event has already taken place. However, the greatest event on the calendar that is going to take place next, I believe, is the rapture of the church. And I am so looking forward to the rapture of the church when Jesus Christ himself is going to be in the air and the trumpet is going to sound. And when the trumpet sounds, all of those who are alive in Jesus Christ shall be resurrected, and we are going to be taken out of this world, not to be ruled anymore by man, but we are going to be ruled by God and live forever and ever with Jesus Christ. And I am looking forward to that day. So as we celebrate the season of Advent, there are four things that it brings to mind, and that is hope, joy, peace, and love. This first week of Advent, we are going to be celebrating that one word, and that is the word hope. Everybody say hope.
Hope.
I love the word hope. If you take hope away from any one of us, we don't have any hope. But he gives us hope. And the way that Paul spoke it in his epistle, he wrote it and he said this in Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy, peace, with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe that every one of us are recipients of hope, and I believe that every one of us are givers of hope, and that we have the power of the tongue, the power within our own words to speak hope to a lost and dying world. And I want to encourage you this coming week, as we focus in on hope, that you will not only receive it, but that you will also give out words of hope to those in a hopeless world. We are going to look at a video on the word hope during this Advent season.
Good morning, everybody. Good to see all of you. I want to recognize all the kids. If you're under 12 years old, would you please stand to your feet? Kids under 12. All right, let's give our kids a hand. Now, Did you all get a piece of paper when you came in? All right, from Miss Bev, and be sure to fill that out and follow along. We're gonna just be probably about 30 minutes. And if I go over 30 minutes, go, hey, hey! And so we just want to thank you. Thanks for being a part of our church today. Next week, Kids Church starts up again. And you don't have to listen to us anymore. You get to listen to Miss Bev. And so it's going to be super exciting for you. You guys may be seated. So. All right, we are in a series here called Rock Solid, or Solid Rock. I can't remember what I called it. One of those. Rock Solid. So this is a series on the Sermon on the Mount, and we're going through the Sermon on the Mount, which is Matthew 5 through 7, and it's the greatest sermon that's been ever preached, and it is a sermon that Jesus preached, and we as a staff are endeavoring to look at it and dive into it and see how this applies to us. And there's so much in it that Jesus grabs hold of and pulls into us. I mean, he deals with anger, he deals with lust, he deals with giving, he deals with fasting, he deals with praying, he deals with marriage, he deals with divorce, he deals with oaths, he deals with salt, light, all. I mean, you have it all. You have it all. One big gigantic sermon. And we at the end of it, he says, all right, guys, if you hear the words that I'm telling you and you put them into practice, you're like a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And when the storms of life come against that house, it's able to withstand. That's why we're calling it rock solid. But if you hear the words and don't put it into practice, you're like a foolish man who built his house upon sand, and the storms of life come against you and your house will withstand. fall. And so we want to be rock solid people, amen, that God has put into our lives. And so when Jesus started out this sermon, he starts out with what we call the Beatitudes. And the Beatitudes are these blessings. Blessed are you. The word blessed means happy are you. And so we as a church are endeavoring to memorize the Beatitudes. And so we we'll have them up on the screen for those who just need a little bit of help in this. And we are on, let's see, seven. We're on number 8 today. And so we'll follow along. Just read it with me. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Now, the last one is a bigger beatitude, and so I'm giving you a break. We're breaking it down into a couple things. We'll break it down to this week and next week, and it's verse 10, and next week we'll do verse 11, but it all encompasses this one beatitude, and that is verse 10. Let's bring it up. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Way to go. It's so good to hear you say that when it's up on the screen. Next week, no screen. But we are in chapter 7 of the Sermon on the Mount. So if you have your Bibles, open up to Matthew chapter 7. If you don't have a Bible, we'll have it up on the screen. You can follow along there. We're going to look at Matthew 7, verses 1 through 6. And if you could do this, whether you're here or at home, if you're at home, stand with me here. Stand with me if you can. If you're listening in your car, don't stand. Just continue to drive. But Matthew 7, 1 through 6, and I'm going to just read, and standing is just a way of honoring the Word of God, and it's this: judge not, that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, and do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your own eye, you hypocrite? First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word today. And God, we pray for your Holy Spirit's anointing upon the word. May it come forth and penetrate each one of our hearts and our lives. God, may we respond to what you are saying. Give us ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to each and every one of us. And may we walk in obedience to what you've called us to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated at home. You may continue to drive if you're driving along. So. All right, I just, every time I need somebody to laugh, I'm going to look over at Lonnie's mask, and it just brings so much encouragement to me. So if I say a joke and no one's laughing, I'm going to look over there, and I'm like, oh, thank you, Lonnie. So it's awesome. All right, there are certain scriptures in the Bible that are abused and misused. I don't know if you noticed this. There are certain scriptures that are abused and misused. For example, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. How many of you know that one, right? I mean, but you've seen it on football fields as a banner, as a team busts through. You know, I could do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And I think it was made famous by Tim Tebow. He had the little black marks under your eyes, and it says Philippians 4:13. Guess what? That verse wasn't about football. I just wanted you to know that. That verse was actually Paul talking about him facing persecution in his life, and he's saying, I could do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And the although it can be used, I guess, for the Broncos today, as all of the Broncos quarterbacks are out because of COVID, all of them. And I think they did call up Tebow. Hey, are you, how you doing, buddy? And so they had to get like a wide receiver off the practice squad to come up. They called me, but I said, I got a sermon to preach. And so another one is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you hope in the future. How many have heard that one, right? Great verse, powerful verse. We write it on graduation cards for those who have just graduated high school or college. I know the plans I have for you. But guess what was happening? That was written to people who were in captivity in Babylon. And they were facing captivity and they're in exile. Perhaps you should write that to somebody who is going into college. That you're in captivity for the next 4+ years, and but God knows the plan He has for you. But there is another verse, and it's one of the verses that is often misused and abused, and it's the verse 1, judge not. Judge not. How that is misused and abused, I believe, in two ways. One way is when we say judge not, we to excuse our sinful behavior. We tell people, who are you to judge me? What are you doing to judge me? Doesn't the Bible say, judge not? Why are you judging me? And so it's used and abused that way. And another way we say judge not is, who am I to tell you what to do? Who am I to judge a person? Who am I to say, get involved into that person's life? But that is not what Jesus is meaning here. In either of those two ways of judge not. It's not an excuse to justify your sin. Man, Jesus, if we read anything in the Sermon on the Mount, He's calling us to holiness. He's calling us to live a standard, to live a life that is not just excuse of sin. So you can't use it saying, who are you to judge me and justify the sin? And it's not a way for us to ignore sin in other people's lives. It's not for us to say, well, I don't want to get involved in their life. I'm not going to get involved in that because judge not. That's not what it means at all. We love John 3:16, right? It's one of our favorite verses, John 3:16. But Jesus never excused sin. He called that sin, but He did it in a non-judging way. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He sent His Son into the world that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. Ah, we'll love that. But John 3:17 is just as important. John 3:17 says this, for God did not send His Son into the world to, what? Condemn the world. But in order that the world might be saved through Him. Jesus did not come into this world to condemn us, but to save us. Doesn't mean He ignored sin. He dealt with sin, and He dealt with sin on the cross, right? He came to deal with the sin, but He didn't come to condemn us. The word judge means to hand down a sentence or a verdict. It's very closely tied to this word condemn. Listen, if you read Romans, if you were a part of our sermon series when we went through Romans, you see we all deserve the wrath of God. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 3:6, I believe, is all about the wrath of God, how we all deserve the wrath of God, every single one of us. Doesn't matter if you've never really been in church before, doesn't matter if you're a good person, doesn't matter if you're a religious person. Everyone, all deserve the wrath of God. Why? Because we are all sinners. We are all sinners. And you can't say, well, at least I'm not as bad as that guy. You're still a sinner. You're still a sinner. And so we all deserve the wrath of God, but Romans 3, like 7 on through the rest of Romans is all about the grace of God, how He comes to justify us, how He's come to sanctify us, how He's come to bring us into glory. And so, man, Jesus is one who has come to deal with the judgment of God. But listen, this doesn't mean that judgment won't happen. But right now we are in this grace. Oh, we sing the song, grace like a wave crashing over me, right? And you say, Dane, that is why you're sitting down there and not up here during the worship thing. Grace, we're living in this part of grace. Jesus did not come to judge us at this time, but to not to condemn us, but to rescue us, to rescue us. So, Jesus tells us, don't judge. So what does that mean? Most of us, if I came up to you and say, hey, are you a judgmental person? Most of us would probably say, no, we are not judgmental persons. Some of us may be proud. Yeah, I'm pretty judgmental, I'll tell you right now. I'm judging you right now while I'm talking to you. So, most of us wouldn't look at ourselves as people who are judgmental people. So, you ever heard of the comedian Jeff Foxworthy? He has that bit, if you know you're a redneck if, right? And he goes through. So I came up with, you know you're a judgmental if. You know you're a judgmental if you're at the checkout line buying groceries and you look at the people in front of you and see what they are buying and you think, are they really going to feed that to their family? You might be judgmental if you don't have kids and you say, when I have kids, I'll never let them do that. For example, when I have kids, I'll never let them watch TV for a 5-minute ride into town. Yes, you will. God gave them the gift of that DVD in the back seat. There's a purpose for that. You might be judgmental if you love going to the airport to people watch. I'm not judging. This one, if you're from the South, you'll get this. You might be judgmental if you ever said, bless her heart. Bless her heart, she thought she could fit into that dress. You might be judgmental if you ever scrolled through social media and defriended someone just because they support a political candidate that you oppose. Ooh, dang. You might be judgmental if you have a hard time giving a compliment without a qualifier. For example, that was a really good song, but you really did great there. But if you have to qualify a compliment, you just might be judgmental. You might be judgmental if you base somebody's worth based upon the color of their skin. You might be judgmental. You see, when we judge, we basically are saying, I know all things concerning this. I'm omnipotent. I know the circumstances around this situation. I know the upbringing. I know the situation. I know it all, so I can give complete and accurate judgment into this circumstance, into this situation. Basically, what you're doing is you're claiming you to be God. And you know everything about this whole situation that you're looking at. Having all the details, having all the backstories, having every situation, and you can bring an accurate judgment. What a burden for you to hold. What a burden for you to hold, to be that accurate in your judgment. God has never given us that responsibility, that burden to carry. Think of it this way. Think of a courtroom, and you have different people in that courtroom. You have the judge up in his seat. You have the prosecutor over there bringing the accusations, and guess who that is? The devil, right? The devil is the accuser of the saints. You have the defense attorney helping out the defendant, and you have the witness giving their testimony. Which player are you? Well, let me help you out. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and all the earth. We are called to be witnesses. We are called to be witnesses. We are called to bring the good news of Jesus Christ. When we take a different role, when we get up from our chair, we say, hey, Jesus, move over, buddy. I got this. That's when we become judgmental. We either take Jesus' seat or we become the prosecutor and take the devil's seat. Which one are you going to take? Jesus's or the devil, because that's what you're going to do. And here's the thing. Here's what Jesus says. Verse 2. Bring on up verse 2, Matt. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with measure you use it will be measured to you. How would you like that? Basically what Jesus is saying, okay, if you're going to be judging people, the measure you use, the accusations you bring, that's how you will be judged. I don't want that, because I know how I judge. I know how what I bring into the situation. I would rather have the one who is fair, the one who is full of grace, the one who is full of mercy. I'd rather have that guy judging me. So, Jesus gives this great illustration, and he's talking about the motive of everything. He goes back to the motive of our heart. Remember, he says, when you give, when you pray, when you fast, and he's talking about the motive of your heart, and he uses the example of a hypocrite. He says, don't be like the hypocrites. And that word hypocrite simply means actor or playing a part. And so you could call all the actresses and actors today, you know, hypocrites, because that's what they mean. It's playing a part. And he says, don't be like the hypocrites. Don't play the part of that. And so Jesus is saying here is, when you want to help somebody, when you see somebody is in need, and he refers to the idea of a speck in somebody's eye, right? And if a speck is not dealt with in their eye, what's going to happen? That sliver or whatever it may be is in their eye, grain of sand or whatever. If you ever weed eaten and got a piece of rock or whatever, it can get infected, it can get irritable, it could cause some major damage if that sliver, if that speck is not removed. So he's not saying don't ignore the speck. He's not saying don't forget about the speck. He wants you to deal with the speck. But first, deal with the motive of your heart. Because each of us have this big log. I could have brought a speck and a log, but you guys get the picture. Each of us have a big log in our eye. And he says, all right, before you go in and deal with somebody who is going through a difficult time, let's check your motive. Let's check your heart. Let's check the log that's in your eye. Because you've got to remove that log in order for you to help with the speck. Do you understand? And so how do we do that? How do we notice the log within our eyes? And I want to give you three questions we need to ask ourselves in one remembrance. Three questions on that when we are going to help somebody remove a speck, three questions we need to ask ourselves if we have a log, and then one remembrance. And as I preach this, this is a very hard sermon to preach, because as I was in my office praying and everything beforehand, I was thinking, okay, I'm going up and telling people not to judge, where I know my heart, where I struggle with this, where I have issues with this. And I think we all do at one point or another. And I said, okay, Dane, you're going up and telling people not to judge and stuff like that. And so I say, oh, God, please search my heart. Please deal with me in my situation, because I don't want to be hypocritical in this. And so three questions I want to pose to you. The first question is this. When you're dealing with helping somebody with the speck in their eye, first one question is this. Ask, what is my goal? Is it restoration or publication? If I'm concerned about the person and the decisions they are making, and I want to make sure that I am removing the log in my eye before I'm going to help remove the speck in their eye, I need to ask myself, is my motive here about restoration, or is my motive here about publication? And what I mean by that is, do I want to restore this person, or do I want to publicly shame and point out the faults of that person? Galatians 6:1 says this, brothers, if any is caught in any transgression, You who are spiritual, restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. And so restore him with the spirit of a gentleness. Another way to put it is, if you were caught in sin, if you had something that was going on in your life, something that you've been trying to hide, how do you want a brother or a sister in Christ to approach and help you? Do you want them, publicly on Facebook or social media, humiliate you or whatever? Or do you want them to come and restore you with gentleness? Because you may say, and we may say this, well, Dane, here's what I'm doing. I'm just bringing truth. Jesus was full of grace and full of truth. And here's what that means is this. When Jesus dealt with somebody, he didn't say, okay, I'm going to give this guy about 75% grace and 25% truth. No, he gave 100% grace and 100% truth. And he didn't say, well, this person's really needing a little bit more truth, so I'm going to give a little extra truth here and a little bit of grace here when I deal with it. No, Jesus was always, always 100% grace, 100% truth. And a great example of this is the story that is in Scripture, where Jesus is sitting there and he's outside, and the Pharisees bring this woman who is caught in adultery, meaning it was that morning, that day, they caught her in adultery. So they're bringing her. They leave the guy, but they bring her out to Jesus, a woman caught in adultery, and they bring her and says, Jesus, the law says she's caught in adultery. It says that we are to stone her. We are to put her to death. What do you say? And Jesus, the famous thing, Jesus gets down on the ground and he begins to write on the ground and so forth. And we don't know what he's saying there on the ground, but he's writing on the ground. And then he basically just says this. He says, whoever's without sin, throw the first stone. And it says, one by one, they begin to drop the stones and leave. And then Jesus looks up and sees he's the only has the right to condemn her. And he says, where are your accusers? And she says, they have all left. He says, neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more. He's full of grace. Amen. And full of truth. Jesus didn't hide the fact that she was a sinner. She was. But he gave her grace and he gave her truth. Do I want to bring restoration to the person or publication to this person? Question number two. Ask, is this a personal preference or a sinful behavior? There are a group of people during Jesus' time that were not part of the inner disciples of Jesus, yet they were casting out demons in Jesus' name. And so the disciples come to Jesus and say, hey, Jesus, we saw some people casting out demons in your name. We tried to stop them because they weren't part of our group. They weren't part of us. And Jesus responded, don't stop them. Whoever is is for us is not against us. Basically, just because they're not part of your inner circle, not part of how you do things, doesn't mean they aren't following Jesus. Personal preference or sinful behavior. I remember back in the day where there was this transition in churches from singing from hymnal books. Remember the hymnal books?
Yeah.
You love them, yeah, see? When we transferred from pull out the hymnal book, turn to page 365, you know, and we're going to all sing verses 1-2, but we're not going to sing verse 3, but we'll sing verse 4. You remember? they made this transition from hymnal books to choruses. Choruses were the devil, you know. Can't sing choruses in church. That's not anointed by God, you know. And so there was this sinful, it was a personal preference. It wasn't a sinful behavior. It was just a personal preference that people had. And we see that all through church history of how people desire certain preferences over another. Well, I can't go in there. They don't wear a suit and tie. I am a suit and tie. Or they, you know, that person has long hair, or that person wears earrings, or that person has gauges, or this person wears a mask. That person doesn't wear a mask. Blah, 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 blah. Is it sinful behavior, or is it just personal preference? And so when you're dealing with somebody's speck and they're out, and I check the log in your own, say, is this just my personal preference here? Is this just my tradition that I've been brought up in? And it has nothing to do with a sin issue. It's just a personal preference issue. And so ask yourself that, and then go back to question number one. Is this about restoration or publication? Am I here to restore with gentleness or publication? We as believers cannot ignore sin when it's beyond a personal preference. If it's sin, we as believers need to deal with that sin. We need to dive right into it and deal with the sin in it. But check your heart and see, is this personal preference or is that really a sinful behavior? Question number three. Am I responding or reacting? If you have kids, no doubt that you have reacted instead of responded. How many of us have flown off the handle? You don't have to raise hands. Said things in the midst of emotion? You don't have to raise hands. Overreacted and regretted later for what you said? You don't have to raise any hands because we're not here to judge. We all have. We all have spoken too soon. We all have said something we regretted. We all have gotten our facts wrong. Jumped to conclusions on numerous things. And it doesn't help with media today. Everything's overreaction today, is it not? We judge based upon what we see on a video screen and not know the entire truth of it. And that video screen is basically clipped to show what they want you to know. We do this all the time, every single day. We overreact. It's reactionary. So we live in a reactionary world. It's easy to respond in the heat of the moment, but be careful when you're removing a speck in somebody's eye to check the log in your own eye. Ask, am I responding or am I reacting? A good example of this, I believe, is when Jesus goes into the temple and he sees people charging in the temple, selling goods and charging in the temple. And basically, they were charging poor people the right to purchase lambs and goats for sacrifice and overcharging them, basically, for them to go to the temple and present their sacrifice to God. And Jesus sees this. He becomes angry with this. And it says in Scripture that he went and made a whip, and then he drove out the money changers. And you say, well, Dane, isn't that reacting? Isn't that just reacting to the situation? He went and made a whip. Think about that. He went and made a whip. So what did Jesus do? He stepped aside and gathered everything that he needed to make a whip. He took time, right? I mean, he could have. I mean, he spoke in creation. Right? Whip, you know. But he went and sat and made a whip. So he responded. I believe it was illustration for us that we need to take a time to wait, get facts, understand situations, check your spirit. Don't respond in an emotional outrage and say, okay, my goal here is restoration, not publication. Let me see if this is personal preference or is this sinful behavior. And let me check and make sure my emotions are correct. And so those are the three questions we need to ask ourselves when we dive in to help somebody with their speck of how to remove the log from our own eye. Yes. And the last thing is a remembrance. Remember who you are dealing with. Jesus says in verse 6, he says this, do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before the pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. Okay, Jesus, I got to ask. What? Do not give to dogs what is holy, and do not throw pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. So what does this have to do with don't judge, check out the log in your eye before you remove the speck in your own eye? Here's what I believe it's dealing with. And I love dogs. I mean, you got to remember the culture there. Dogs and pigs were the lowest of animals. Dogs today, Bucky, if you're at home, you're watching this, I love you, Bucky. One of the greatest dogs ever, besides Lady. I give Bucky, you know, Bucky is not my dog, he's my son's dog, but we watch him from time to time, and I give Bucky food, adult food. Don't judge me. Just saying. But Jesus is making a point here. He's saying the message of those who will receive and listen to your correction. You see, we are called to help and build up one another, equipping the saints, helping the saints, helping brothers and sisters in Christ. When a brother and sister in Christ is in sin, we have a responsibility from God to go and restore that person. We have that responsibility. And we should do it with gentleness and love, and we should do it full of grace and full of truth. So this is, Jesus is talking about, this is within the church world, in a sense. You cannot take that same kind of message to people who have no idea what you're talking about, who have no idea that the sin they're in within is sin, that they celebrate it, they rejoice in it. It's not sin to them. So basically he's saying your message is like throwing it to the dogs. It's like throwing it to pigs. They're not going to receive it. They're not going to receive it. Remember who your audience is. One commentator put it this way. I think it's this. It's usually ineffective for Christians to attempt to correct sinful behavior in the world by attacking those who are enslaved to sin. This only leads to greater opposition, and they react by choosing to trample on the truth. Remember who you are dealing with. Is this person a believer, someone who's going to receive the word or not? I would like to close with this, and I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up as I do. I gave this illustration of the courtroom and that we are the witnesses in that courtroom. But before we became a witness, we were the defendant. I said in Romans, Paul lays this out. He says, we all have sinned. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every single one of us in this room have sinned. Every single one of us in this room deserves the wrath of God. Every single one of you who are watching online has sinned and deserves the wrath of God. We all have sinned. I have. You have. And Satan, who is the accuser of the brethren, is pointing it out. He's pointing out, Dane did this. Dane was judgmental. Dane gossiped. Dane slandered. Dane lied. Dane stole. Dane did all these things. Dane blasphemed your name. Dane did all these things. And I'm guilty. There's nowhere to hide. Nowhere to hide. It's like, imagine this screen pulls up your life and it shows all your thoughts, all your ideas, all your misdoings, all you, when you're a kid, stealing something from your mom's purse, all of it right there. It's all there for everybody to see, and you're guilty. You're guilty. We all are. And Jesus is our judge. And he says, man, here it is. You're guilty, Dane. You deserve death. But here's what I'm going to do. And Jesus gets up, and I'm in my orange jumpsuit. I got the chains around my ankles, my hands, deserving the punishment. And Jesus gets up, walks down. He takes off my orange jumpsuit. He unshackles the chains, and he puts it on himself, and he gives me his clothing, He gives me his time. He gives me his righteousness. That's what justification is. He says, I'll take your punishment, Dane. I'll take it. Because I love you. You're guilty, but I'm going to take, that's what the cross represents. I'm going to take your sin upon myself. And I give you grace. If you receive it, Dane, will you receive this? Yes. Why wouldn't I? That love, that grace that he took, full of truth, because he had to take it. Punishment had to be made, had to be paid. Jesus took it upon himself. So the question I have for you is, have you received it? Have you received this gift of grace that Jesus freely gives each and every one of us? We're all sinners. We're all sinners. We're all guilty. Have you received it? Oh, today is the day of salvation. That's what the Bible says. Today is the day of salvation. He who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. The Bible says in Romans that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord. This is the day, this is the moment to call upon Jesus to be saved from your sins. To receive this gift of salvation. This is the greatest decision you'll ever have and ever made. This is the greatest gift you'll ever receive. Amen. It's the gift of salvation. Will you receive it today? Well, so, Dane, you don't know. You talk about stealing stuff from your mama's purse, but I've done far, far greater than that. Sin is sin. Doesn't matter how extreme you went or how little you think it is, it's still sin. You're still in shackles. You're still in the orange jumpsuit. You're still deserving death. Doesn't matter. And Jesus says, I forgive you. I will receive your payment. I'll receive the punishment that you deserve. Will you receive it today? Would you just bow your heads in prayer with me, please? Begin to search your own heart, your own spirit right now. Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Whoever opens it, I will come in and be with him. He be with me and I be with him. And Jesus is standing at your door right now. He's knocking on the door of your heart. And he's asking, would you let me in? If you would like to accept Jesus into your life, would you just pray this prayer with me right now in your own words, in your own way, and inviting Jesus and say, Jesus, thank you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for rescuing me. Thank you for taking my punishment that I deserve upon yourself. Thank you for all that you have done for me. And I receive you by faith today into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Make me a new person. Put your spirit in me. Make me alive in you. I thank you for that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Man, I want to invite us all to stand, whether you're at home or here in this room. Would you please stand? If you receive Jesus Christ into your life this morning, we have some resources we want to give to you that will help you in your walk with the Lord. Is basically texting the word journey to 74574. It's up there on the screen. It's on the screen at home. And you'll instantly receive on your phone a 30-day walk, a journey with Jesus that'll help you walk with Jesus. Encourage you to begin to read God's Word. If you don't have a Bible, download YouVersion Bible on your app, on your phone. It's an app, free app. And begin to read the gospel. Start with the gospel of Matthew. and just begin to read the Gospels, one chapter at a time, and look at who Jesus is. Look at what Jesus says and begin to follow him and trust in him. We're going to sing this course, Oceans. It's a song we used to sing quite a bit. We haven't sung it in a while. But it's a great, great song about the grace of God. And so let's sing along right now.
Trust is without borders. Let me walk.
Amen. Would you just pray with me right now? Father, thank you so much. Thank you that you call us up out of the storm, out of the waters, and keep our eyes focused upon you. You rescued us. You rescued us. You rescued me. You redeemed me. You restored me. You gave me life. Oh, God, thank you so much. Thank you for that grace. Thank you for that grace. Lord, be with us as we leave from this place. May you be glorified in all that we do and all that we say. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day.